Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're digging into something quite serious, what some call the unfolding silence of frogs. We've sifted through a lot of reports, a lot of science, to bring you the key facts.
It's a really important topic, and, you know, just counting frogs is tricky. It feels like a race, discovery versus extinction. The numbers keep changing.
Okay, so what are the numbers right now, roughly, and where do most of these frogs actually live?
Well, the databases, like AmphibiaWeb, they list nearly 8,000 species now, frogs and toads.
8,000, wow.
Yeah, it's a huge jump, like over 60% since the mid-80s. Shows how much we're still learning. But the diversity, it's really concentrated.
Concentrated where?
The neotropics, mostly. Central South America. Brazil is, well, that's the epicenter. Over 1,000 species just there.
Okay.
But then you have places like Madagascar. Incredible endemism.
Meaning they're only found there.
Exactly. Like 90, maybe even 99% of Madagascar's 400-plus species live only there. It shows how irreplaceable even small areas can be. Think about it. You might find 25 species in a small park in Georgia, but only 5 in all of Yellowstone.
That's a fascinating comparison. Small places, huge importance. What about how they survive? Frogs have some really unique tricks.
Oh, absolutely. They're like a living library of evolution.
Yeah.
They're glass frogs, right?
Yeah.
Their skin is see-through.
See-through. Wow.
They can, get this, shunt about 90% of their red blood cells into their liver to become almost invisible. Scientists are actually studying that for blood clotting ideas.
Incredible. What else?
And there's the wood frog in North America. It freezes solid.
It's literally.
Freezes all, like solid ice.
Yep. Heart stops, maybe 45% of its body is ice. Then it thaws out in spring. It uses glucose, like a natural antifreeze.
That's amazing. And male Darwin's frogs, they raise tadpoles in their vocal sacs. Just losing them means losing potential medical secrets, you know? Antibiotics, painkillers from their skin. It's like burning a library before reading the books.
Wow. Okay, so beyond being biological wonders, what's their job in the environment, their ecological role?
Right. The bigger picture, they're a crucial middle link. Tadpoles. They're like aquatic janitors. They graze algae, keep water clean.
Okay.
Adult frogs eat a ton of insects. Think pest control. Mosquitoes carry malaria, dengue. Frogs help manage that. Plus, lots of things eat frogs. So they're key.
Keystone species, then.
Definitely. Take them out and the whole system can get wobbly.
Makes sense. People often call them canaries in the coal mine. Why is that? What makes them good indicators?
It's their skin, mainly.
Yep.
It's permeable, absorbs things easily.
Ah, so pollutants show up quickly.
Exactly. An early warning system. And because they need both good water for tadpoles and good land for adults, their health tells you about the whole landscape's health.
Mm-hmm.
We even hear it. Acoustic monitoring picks up fewer mating calls. These dying songs, they're an audible sign of biodiversity loss. Sir David Attenborough said it well. They reflect the planet's health.
Which brings us to the tough part, the great quieting. Just how bad is the extinction crisis for them?
It's pretty stark. The IUCN Red List data, it shows 41% of amphibian species are threatened.
41%? That sounds huge.
It is way higher than mammals, you know, at 27%. And it's accelerating. It was about 33% back in 2004. At least 37 species are gone, extinct. And for over 1,500, we just don't have enough data. The real picture could be even worse.
That's deeply concerning. What's causing it all? Is there one main culprit?
It's more like death by a thousand cuts. Lots of threats working together. Habitat loss is the biggest, affecting like 93% of threatened species.
Right.
But disease, especially that chytrid fungus, and climate change are driving the really rapid declines. Climate change sort of multiplies the other threats. Then you've got pollution, invasive species, even over-harvesting playing a part.
You mentioned the chytrid fungus. That sounds particularly nasty.
It is. Batrachia chytrium dendrobatidis, or blood deed.
Yeah.
Probably the worst wildlife disease ever recorded. Infectious disease, anyway.
How did it spread?
Likely came from the African clawed frog. They were shipped globally decades ago for pregnancy tests in the 30s to 50s.
Pregnancy tests, really?
Yeah. The fungus infects the skin, thickens it. This messes up their electrolytes, their salt balance, and leads to, well, cardiac arrest.
Gosh, this sounds incredibly bleak, but there must be conservation efforts. Any signs of hope?
Oh, absolutely. There's the Amphibian Conservation Action Plan, ACAP. It's like a global toolkit, and there are successes.
Like what? Give us some good news.
Okay. The Panamanian golden frog. Extinct in the wild, sadly. But it survives in zoos in these assurance colonies, like an ICU for frogs.
Okay, so captive breeding.
Right. Then in Australia, the green and golden bell frog, they develop this cool in situ treatment right in the ponds using salt levels. got survival up to 70% combined with captive breeding.
That's clever, treating them in the wild.
Exactly. And sometimes, just proactive work helps.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Columbia spotted frog in the U.S., collaboration avoided needing federal protection. So, yeah, decline isn't, you know, inevitable. We can make a difference.
So it's a story of incredible creatures, vital roles, a deep crisis, but also proven ways to help.
Right. And what this really means, for you listening, is that their fate is tied to the planet's health. Our health, too.
Mm.
Their silence is a warning we really need to hear.
Definitely. So maybe take a moment after this to think, what would a truly silent spring without that frog chorus sound like? And maybe, what's one small thing you could do to help keep their song going?